9.
You can just take that back, boy.
This order given by me to Cecil Jacobs was the beginning of a rather thin time for Jem and me. My fists were clenched, and I was ready to let fly. Atticus had promised me he would wear me out if he ever heard of me fighting any more. I was far too old and too big for such childish things, and the sooner I learned to hold in, the better off everybody would be. I soon forgot. Cecil Jacobs made me forget. He had announced in the schoolyard the day before that Scout Finch's daddy defended niggers. I denied it, but told Jim. "What'd he mean saying that?" I asked. "Nothing," Jim said. "Ask Atticus. He'll tell you." "Do you defend niggers, Atticus?" I asked him that evening. "Of course I do. Don't say nigger, Scout. That's common." "It's what everybody at school says." "From now on, it'll be everybody less one." "Well, if you don't want me to grow up talking that way, why do you send me to school?" My father looked at me mildly, amusement in his eyes. Despite our compromise, my campaign to avoid school had continued in one form or another since my first day's dose of it. The beginning of last September had brought on sinking spells, dizziness, and mild gastric complaints. I went so far as to pay a nickel for the privilege of rubbing my head against the head of Miss Rachel's cook's son, who was afflicted with a tremendous ringworm. It didn't take. But I was worrying another bone. "Do all lawyers defend Negroes, Atticus?" "Of course they do, Scout." "Then why did Cecil say you defended niggers? He made it sound like you were running a still." Atticus sighed. "I'm simply defending a Negro. His name's Tom Robinson. He lives in that little settlement beyond the town dump. He's a member of Calpurnia's church, and Cal knows his family well. She says they're clean living folks. Scout, you aren't old enough to understand some things yet, but there's been some high talk around town to the effect that I shouldn't do much about defending this man. It's a peculiar case. It won't come to trial until summer session. John Taylor was kind enough to give us a postponement." "If you shouldn't be defending him, then why are you doing it?" "For a number of reasons," said Atticus. "The main one is, if I didn't, I couldn't hold up my head in town. I couldn't represent this county in the legislature. I couldn't even tell you or Jim not to do something again."
"You mean if you didn't defend that man, Jim and me wouldn't have to mind you anymore?"
"That's about right."
"Why?"
"Because I could never ask you to mind me again." "Scout, simply by the nature of the work, every lawyer gets at least one case in his lifetime that affects him personally. This one's mine, I guess. You might hear some ugly talk about it at school, but do one thing for me, if you will. You just hold your head high and keep those fists down. No matter what anybody says to you, don't you let 'em get your goat. Try fighting with your head for a change. It's a good one, even if it does resist learning."
"Atticus, are we going to win it?"
"No, honey."
"Then why?"
"Simply because we were licked 100 years before we started is no reason for us not to try to win," Atticus said.
"You sound like Cousin Ike Finch," I said.
Cousin Ike Finch was Macomb County's sole surviving Confederate veteran. He wore a General Hood-type beard, of which he was inordinately vain. At least once a year, Atticus, Jim, and I called on him,
and I would have to kiss him. It was horrible. Jim and I would listen respectfully to Atticus and Cousin Ike rehash the war. "Tell you, Atticus," Cousin Ike would say, "the Missouri Compromise was what licked us. But if I had to go through it again, I'd walk every step of the way there and every step back, just like I did before, and furthermore, we'd whip 'em this time." Now, in 1864, when Stonewall Jackson came around by, I beg your pardon, young folks, old Blue Light was in heaven then. God rest his saintly brow. "Come here, Scout," said Atticus. I crawled into his lap and tucked my head under his chin. He put his arms around me and rocked me gently. "It's different this time," he said. "This time we aren't fighting the Yankees. We're fighting our friends. But remember this, no matter how bitter things get, they're still our friends, and this is still our home." With this in mind, I faced Cecil Jacobs in the schoolyard next day. "You gonna take that back, boy?" "You gotta make me first," he yelled. "My folks said your daddy was a disgrace and that nigger ought to hang from the water tank." I drew a bead on him, remembered what Atticus had said, then dropped my fists and walked away. "Scout's a coward," ringing in my ears. It was the first time I ever walked away from a fight. Somehow, if I fought Cecil, I would let Atticus down. Atticus so rarely asked Jim and me to do something for him. I could take being called a coward for him. I felt extremely noble for having remembered, and remained noble for 3 weeks. Then Christmas came, and disaster struck.